Together. I said this was after me. Hold your hands together. I said this was after me. In the name of Jesus, we will see revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus today, even as he sees us in himself. As regards the things of the Spirit, we are enlightened and we know how to walk in it. As we hear your word, we'll put it to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. We started off our series on pneumaticus. That was a couple of 2 weeks back. And on Thursday we'd continue, but we couldn't finish. Hallelujah. So we'll take it off from there. We're looking at pneumaticus. What? Okay, I should learn to be a snack. My voice is higher. It's going to be quite lengthy. I told us, right? I have a lot to cover. Amen. Quite lengthy, but I will cut it short in righteousness at the right time. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, we'll have 2 sessions today. After this, we'll now have another service, the second service that will start by 2:30. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now look at what Paul said. He says, now concerning spiritual. You see that? Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. Concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And we began looking at the fact that what Paul is doing here is that Paul was addressing their conduct, right? Amen. We said Paul was addressing their conduct in 1 Corinthians 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Something you're going to see that we are doing is, remember I told you, we're having 2 approaches to this. I'm thinking the same thing, but I have set 2 approaches to it, and you see what I'm doing. That's why I said on Thursday we are taking a detour. Like why? I think we are leaving where we are coming from, right? But I'm giving you 2 approaches to the same thing. It's not like 2 different things. It's the same, but just the 2 approaches. Now you see it from every side. Hallelujah! You'll be able to see it from all sides. Amen. I hope in the coming weeks we'll begin to look at them together. Hallelujah. But this is the same detail where we left it on Thursday, so we'll pick it up from there. So it says concerning spiritual, we said he was addressing something in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter 11 verse 17. He said, this I say, I declare to you, I praise you not. He said, when you come together, he said, it's not for the better but for the worse. Now you can say, if you are coming together, it's supposed to be for the better. But he said, they didn't do that. Why? He said, verse 18, look at verse 18. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions amongst you, and I partly believe it. For there must be heresies. The word heresies there, it means factions. There must be heresies also amongst you. Hallelujah. Can you see what Paul is addressing? This is what they had in their gathering amongst you. They which are approved may be made manifest amongst you. So when you come together into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. Amen. It means it's not to come and eat food. No. Amen. Okay, follow me. For in eating, every one of you take it before the other. His own supper. And one is hungry, another is drunken. Did you see that? Did you see what he's saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they had strife. They had strife. Say, one is drunk, one. Say, what? Have you no houses to eat and to drink in? Say, despite yet the church of God? You see that? So what is Paul saying? Now, like I said to us, they had an attitude in their world of eating. Now, those of you around for CRC, I made mention of it. I said, okay, and the teaching before CRC. We had a teaching before CRC, right? What is this? Okay, contending for the faith. We had that teaching. So we said, when you use the word eating in their world was used to show acceptance, right? Was that what we said? It's used to show acceptance, used to show we are brothers, we are friends, I've accepted you. Do you get me? Eating.
I will look at it in relation to the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life. This is so you need to show acceptance. Hope you're following me. Acceptance. So in their world, eating was a culture. You want to show that we are friends. We'll have to eat together. If we don't eat together, we can't say we are friends. Hope you're following me. So we know we are friends when we eat together. That was why in Matthew, that should be chapter 18. No, not 18. In Matthew, Jesus went in with the went in with a publican and a tax collector, and he was found eating with them. And they said he is friends with the publicans. Hope you're following me. They called him friends with the publicans. Why? Because he ate with them. Do you see that? So eating is social friendship. So when you get to Acts 2, I'll just give a summary of what we said in this. They say in Acts 2, if you look at Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6, they had the same culture, even as believers. So as believers, because it was in their world that people would eat to show that they are friends, to show that they are family, to show that they are now bound together. We are now we are the same. So they now will break bread together. Did you see that? That's unity, that union. Why would it start in Acts 2? Not in Acts 2 because they had people who were in staying in Jerusalem that came around for Pentecost, and they got saved. 3,000 souls were saved. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verses 41, 3,000 souls were saved. How are you following me? 3,000 souls were saved. So those souls didn't go back home. They stayed together in Jerusalem. Amen. So the apostles, what they did, what brethren did, was that they began to break bread together. Did you see that? That's to break bread together, to show that, oh, we are together, we are one. That is to show love. That's how they showed love. We break bread together. Now, in Acts 4, they had the same practice. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says they had multiplied and they didn't need any help because the widows were being neglected. Did you see that? In the daily, look at it, Acts 6, 1. The widows were being neglected in the daily ministration of food. Oh, you are following me. So they had that practice. So in the book of Acts 2, that practice, the book in Corinth, they still had that practice in Corinth. But Corinth now is not a more civilized area, like a commercial hall. Did you see that? More civilized community, they had people with knowledge, they had more richer people, they had people who had influence, affluence, noblemen. Did you see that? Yes, amen. Paul made us see that they had noblemen in Corinth. Noblemen means rich guys. But you know what? When they now got together, because they got together to share, so some people now started having faction, not started having friends in church. So when I come like this, I only give people in Jokwemu branch. And I won't give people in Mafluku. So people in Mafluku will not be salivating. Like people at WMI eating jam donuts and more. Yeah, I hope you're following it. Because Femi is the one supplying it. So people in Mafluku will not be looking at their pastor. Pastor, what are you going to give us? And Mafluku will not bring two of us there. Pastor, two of them, jam donuts. Huh? Yeah, see. So that was what was happening. There was no faction. Because, yeah, all they could afford is brukutu. Yeah, they could afford red wine. Hope you are seeing what is happening. So we're drunk, so we say, man, I wish I can be there. Hope you are following me. So you see faction. Oh, what the old people now started. They have their sharing PS5. Can you now say, what is this? Factions everywhere. Did you see that? So Paul now came in and said, when you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Hope you have already. How about Paul? No. Amen. Amen. Hope you have already. So he now points them. Look at that Acts 11. We're taking it a bit further today. He now points them again to what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Acts 11. He points them again to what Jesus said. It shows them that what Jesus did was to show acceptance in him in the resurrection. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So then they go back to where they had this ordinance from. Let's get back again to where they had this ordinance from. I skipped something very vital and I'm going back to. Okay, in Exodus chapter 12, they had the ordinance of the Passover. Let's look at Exodus 12, and let's look at verse 5. Exodus 12, 5. Let's see, when Moses gave them the ordinance of the Passover, let's see what Moses said to them. Exodus 12, verse 5. Are you there? Look at what he said. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish. He said, a male, listen to this. Okay. I want to quickly see this. That given that we don't read much. Let me rush there. Okay. Let's see. No. Verses 4. Quickly. Okay, I'll read from verse 3. It says, speak here to the congregation of Israel, say, in the 10th day of this month, ye shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. Did you see that? A lamb for a house. Hope you can see that. That means that we will eat it as a house food. And that's an implication. Hallelujah. To eat it as a what? Household. Did you see that? Look at verse 4. There says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, that is, if the lamb is bigger than the household, let's say the household is just two. Mother and father, not yet with the child, said no. He said, you shall add in your neighbors. Don't you really can see that? Next to his house. So take it according to the number of the house. Take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. What did he say? That is acceptance. Isn't it? So they eat the Passover as a household. Unity. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very, very vital. So that means in the Passover, what will you have? You will have unity. We're going to see that as we progress. You'll have unity in the Passover. Hallelujah, you have unity as a household. So you have a household in the Passover. Hallelujah. So Paul, in addressing, show us that the eating and drinking will be figurative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says then, so that eating and drinking is not actually eating and drinking when you come to church. It's not sharing kunu and zobo, no. Amen. Moses is using it figuratively to talk about the Lord's Passover. You see that? So he corrects them immediately. When you come together, it's not to come and eat and drink. Rather, in chapter 12 verse 1, he now says concerning spirituals, where you are gathered. Hope you are following me. So that means it's not to come and eat and drink, but the eating and drinking is to point to spirituals. Spiritual there means pneumaticals. Activities in the spirit. I hope you are seeing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it's not for food, but for what? Spiritual. Amen. So the last time, we began looking at the word pneumaticals, right? I would say, when you hear the word pneumaticals, you must look at it in the light of what is said about the word spirit in context, right? Was that what we said? So last time, or which is on Thursday, we looked at how pneumaticals was used in the book of Galatians, right? So let's take a bit, let's go to Ephesians. I skipped Ephesians that day because of time. So let's look at Ephesians. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3, look at what it says. It says, blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What's that? Amen. He calls it pneumaticals eulogia. It says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. Spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. So mark that. That's one. These are spiritual. Now it's used twice. I mean, the word spiritual is used three times in the book of Ephesians. Pneumaticals. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So he calls the heavens where? In Christ. Did you see that? In the heaven that is in Christ. So he calls the heavens in Christ. Make sure you don't miss that. And now would that be spiritual?
Would that be the spirit? Would that be spiritual? Or would that be supernatural? Let me take you back to the other part.
Is that would that be supernatural? In the spirit? Aha. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go further. In chapter 5, verse 19, Ephesians 5:19.
Please, those of us who are in the presence, please. Pastor, I know you're not around to this day. But when you meet it now, make sure you listen to me. Yeah? Huh? You don't have to download messages. You guys have never, you've never downloaded messages. But you have phones. You have Android phones. Not iPhone, Android.
So your pastor will teach you how to download, or he will download and send to your phone. You hear me? Yeah? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19. It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs.
Mark that.
Spiritual songs.
Do you see that? Spiritual songs. So spiritual songs, does it mean, is it information, activities in the spirit?
Is it information and activities in the spirit? Spiritual songs. Thank you. So, a spiritual blessing will not... Okay. We're getting there.
Chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to investigate that. In chapter 6, verse 12, it talks about spiritual wickedness in the heavens. Spiritual wickedness. So, we'll see spiritual blessings, we'll see spiritual wickedness.
And you know what? Spiritual blessing is a contrast to spiritual wickedness. So that means, in the absence of spiritual blessing, what you have is wickedness.
We're going to see that one. Hallelujah.
So let's see, how did the word spirit use? Spirit is used 15 times. Pneuma is used 15 times in Ephesians. But we're going to restrict our study to around... Okay, let's just look at it 15 times. Okay, look at Ephesians 1:13. First of all, Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Now, when you use the word spiritual blessings, he wants you to see what is the spiritual blessings, right? So he went ahead to explain to you what the spiritual blessing is. Hallelujah. So what did he call spiritual blessings? In verse 4, it says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
And they are chosen us in him
before the foundation of the world. Is that a pre-plan?
Have I taught you pre-plan? Have I taught you predestination?
Have I? I have. Okay, those of you who have not listened, maybe you've not listened to me, but I've taught predestination more than once. So, it's a pre-plan. Can you see a pre-plan there? And why will you have that pre-plan? Before the foundations of the world. What is the foundations of the world? What is it? I told you, what is the foundations of the world? Genesis. Did you see that? So before the foundation of the world will be Genesis. So that means, what Paul is saying is that you find God's pre-plan on how he has blessed us in Genesis. So let's see that. That you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Did you see that?
That what you have. Amen. How predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself
according to the good pleasures of his will. Isn't that a pre-plan? A pre-plan? Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Can you see what the spiritual blessing is?
So blessing is to speak good of. Hallelujah. What is word of commendation? So what has God done?
That word of commendation. He says he has predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So the praise of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That is the blessing. Hallelujah. So the blessing is not money. The blessing is what he has done in Christ. Hallelujah. What has he done in Christ? He has given us his spirit. So verses 13. Look at verse 13. Still talking about the blessing. Look at verse 13. He said, in whom ye trusted, after ye had the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom after ye had believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Did you see that? Ye were sealed with the... Is that the blessing? That is the blessing that is called spiritual blessing. So spiritual blessing there is that he has sealed us
Hallelujah. Or we'll have the seal of the Spirit. Amen. By that seal of the Spirit, the Lord will receive the remission of sins.
Hallelujah. That's what he calls in verse 16.
And then we'll have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Accesses. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, we're all going to chapter 2. Ooh, okay, let's see chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2. Now, he says that,
and it came to chapter 2. It now shows you the contract of spiritual blessing. That is to say, before you receive the seed of the Spirit, where were you? Before you receive the seed of the Spirit, where were you?
It was available as pre-planned, right? Genesis 1:1. Did you see that? Right? But before you received it, there was a Genesis 1:2. It is that Genesis 1:2 was the reason for Genesis 1:1. No. But there was a Genesis 1:1. What God is doing.
Hope you're following me. Now that shows you Genesis 1:2. Hope you're following me. Now you see everything? So it has to chapter 2. It has to chapter 2 verse 2 quickly.
Ephesians 2:2. It says, wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now walk in the children of disobedience.
Did you see that? Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You can say, among whom ye want to have your conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath.
Did you see that? Is that Genesis 1:2? Exactly Genesis 1:2.
Amen.
That was a spiritual wickedness in Ephesians 6:12. So when you have spiritual wickedness, is the man who is not born again. Bible says it's under the dominion of darkness. It's under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Did you see that? So when a man is not born again, he is under spiritual wickedness. Now the high place, in the heavens or in the high places there, the high places there will not be in the sky. The high places there will be in their heart. Did you see that? Why? He said the spirit that now walk in the sons of disobedience. Did you see that? In their heart.
Okay, for so you.
That tells you that Genesis 1:2, that Genesis 1:2 is not creation. Rather, it is new creation. Or I'll put it this way, Genesis 1:1, 1:2, 1:3 is not God creating the moon, the stars. No, it's not the world being created. No, it's actually concerning the new birth. It's concerning what God has planned. Amen. So Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2 is the heart of man. Okay, follow me. Genesis 1:1, we know God created the heavens and the earth is the heart of man. Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, that is the earth without the heaven. The heaven will be God, the earth will be man. So man without God is darkness. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay, follow me. That man is under the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. We have a lot of feet to cover.
So, lastly, we have, okay, well now you have spiritual songs. I hope to do this now. Ephesians 5 verse 18, quickly, to get to it. Ephesians 5 verse 18, look at what it says. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is that activity?
Is that activity? Is that activity? So that means, when that says spiritual songs, will that be activities too?
Emphatically, it will be activities. So that means, in Ephesians 2, spirituals is used for what? State of man, right? 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 State of man. Is that it? In Christ? Right? What about when he's not in Christ? Yes.
Amen? But that one is carnally spiritual. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Supernatural. Because that is why when you look at the darkness in Genesis 1:2, we are not going there today. But when you look at the darkness in Genesis 1:2, it's actually supernatural. Hope you're following me. So there's no neutral. There's nothing like, I don't want to be spiritual, I don't want to be carnal, I just want to sit on the fence though. Even your carnality is supernatural.
Okay, follow me. Your carnality is supernatural. They go,
it's just neutral. I just want that you want to sit on the fence.
What? There's no sitting on the fence.
Okay, hear me. Amen. Remember I told you, the reason for the Spirit of God is that we can effectively function in the supernatural. So that means, we have the Spirit of God, what you have is what? Counterfeit. You can effectively function.
Open for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Therefore, we said, when you hear spiritual wickedness, that will be Genesis 1 verse 2, right? That will be Genesis 1, 2. That will be darkness. And what happens then?
God now offers himself. Right? God offers himself, Genesis 1, 3, let there be light.
So there's a solution
for spiritual darkness. There's a solution. Genesis 1, 3, God said, let there be light. Now when God said, let there be light, there is not... It's not moon and star and sun, no.
It says, let there be light. That is the word higher all. I am light. This is that I am light. I am light. I will say Jesus picked that up, right?
When Jesus picked that up in John 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. That is direct reading from Genesis 1, 3. I am light. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, ego am I, which is the same word for I am. Jesus said, I am light, ego am I, says, I am the light of the world.
Jesus said,
he who follows me, John 1, 2, he who follows me will not walk in darkness.
Is that Genesis 1, 2? Did you see that? He who follows me will not walk in Genesis 1, 2,
but will have the light of life, Genesis 1, 2. Did you see that?
Amen. So Jesus is interpreting the Genesis.
And he says he is the God of the scriptures. That's what Jesus is saying.
So you see, anybody who denies Jesus as God, who cannot save with the scriptures, he is not born again. Because the essence of your being born again
is what? Jesus is God. Amen. Amen.
That's all that was. And I told you, we're going to deal with something in the second section, not today, but as we progress, which is on during our normal church section,
but the message, the mandate.
We're going to deal with a bit about the Son of God. What does it really mean? But I will not get down to Jesus as the Son of God, but you will have an idea of who Jesus is when you say Jesus is the Son of God.
You know, you shouldn't be thinking of a woman. You know, you are reading it in your world. Shooting of a woman. Then who did God then marry? Then that means you'll be fighting with the Muslims every day. You hear that? Because that was the concept of sonship.
I wrote something that said Jesus himself is God. I know, I posted what I said to everyone. I'll see how it is. And a friend of mine picked it up.
I just started listening, just started knowing some things.
I don't want to use another word. He called me this time and said he wants to come around for our services. I said, anytime you are welcome. Address is always on our flyer. Amen.
You come and hear the word. No stress. Amen. He said, Jesus is not the Son of God.
I mean, Jesus is not God. Jesus is the Son of God. I said, what are you saying? What am I saying? He said, no, that Jesus is not God. I said, then you should go and buy a bag. I told him where, I knew where he stayed. I have gone to his house. I told him, see, I know a location, and I said, go to that location. Pick flyer. You see, I said, pick one of the flyers. Watch tower. Pick it, like my pastor who did to somebody. I said, put it inside your bag. Carry it. You have become a Jehovah Witness. He said, no, man. I said, what are you saying? What am I saying?
Jesus is God. What is the essence of your belief?
They
say,
what
is
thought?
That is because you
don't know scripture. You know,
Jesus
is saying
that the
word
says you
act
because you know not the
everybody who is a Muslim that I've met, that want to bring that up for scripture, I've successfully defeated them. That, this was not even now, I even know the scriptures.
This was years back.
But I say Jesus is son of God, not God. I just look at it. Alright, let's look at it together. Are you? Not knowing the scriptures.
I don't know the scriptures.
But how can you say? Because that is the essence of, I can see, that is the essence of my belief.
Say, God tell me what I want.
Amen. The moment Jesus is son of God, then you're not a Christian. You don't know? So Jesus himself says it all the time that he is God.
This is not the time.
When he says, I am the light of the world, is that Genesis 1, 2? I mean Genesis 1, 3? Yes. Let there be light.
I am light. John, in 1 John, would now speak in the same place, he would now say, God is light.
Do you see that?
In him there is no darkness at all. Did you see that? How can I say that? God is light. He speaks in that way. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and God, let God is light, you put it together. Jesus is God.
Hallelujah. Let's move away from this. This is not my emphasis for today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus offers himself as the solution. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. God is what? This is 9 into 10. It says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Say, he found him in a desert land. Is that Genesis 1, 2? He found him in a desert land. I showed you this.
What?
In a desert land. And in the waste hole. Waste there is the word
where you have the word empty and void.
In a wasteland. That is Genesis 1, 2. In a wasteland. You see that? In a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. Who? God. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Is that let there be light? Is that let there be light?
Emphatically, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Look at that stuff. You said, I have this person. You said, I want to go.
Come on. Let's do it together. I want to go. Is that light in darkness? The Lord lead him. There was no what? Strange God with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So God offered himself as the solution. God is the solution to man's problem. And man's problem in Genesis 1, 2 is not physical. Man's problem is spiritual. Man doesn't have, see, before you have, I don't have money, I don't have school, I don't have this, I don't have that.
Those are not man's real problems. Amen. Those are problems that emancipate first
from the real problem. The real problem is what? The spirit. Did you see that? The spirit. Whoever believes me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. They came to meet Jesus. Okay, we're going to get there. But let me just say, they came to meet Jesus and then your disciples didn't wash their hands. They are eating, they are eating food without washing their hands. And they say it's unlawful. Jesus looked at them and now said to the Pharisees, he said, what defiles a man is not what goes into his mouth, but what comes out. When the Pharisees heard it, they understood what they got angry at them.
They got angry at them. Because the use of the word defile there is for
unbelief. This is that you are thinking defile is defile. No, they got angry and left. Now the disciples came and said, Master, the Pharisees are angry and they left. That's why, would you at this point, want to come back? Can you explain to us what you meant by that Pharisee? This is that. And Jesus now said, he said, what goes into a man's mouth? Which is what the Pharisees took, which is the food. He said, it comes out as waste. Hallelujah. And you visit the White House and it goes on.
But what comes out of a man's heart? Now, when you use the word out of a man's heart, unfortunately, their mind goes to where?
Genesis chapter number 3. The tree. Their mind goes again to Deuteronomy.
What I say to you is not far from you say it in your mouth that you may do it. This type of your heart and your mouth.
So automatically, what Jesus is saying is that the problem is not what a man eats. The problem is salvation.
Did you see that? So man's problem has been the same since Genesis. Supernatural. Did you see that? That's how you see man. See, make sure that is how you see men.
Amen. Any man who is not born again, any man who doesn't have Jesus, who is not saved, has a fundamental problem. His problem is not money. His problem is not what to eat. His problem is not where to go. His major number one problem is salvation.
Okay, there it is.
Salvation. Salvation. His door.
My problem is I don't have anybody to take care of.
No, his door.
Okay, there it is. Hallelujah. Amen. So the people who are sick, when Jesus was on the earth, during the incarnation, he will see the sick, he will say, go and see no more.
You'll be healed, but he will tell them, go and see no more. He said, least a greater thing happens to you. What is the greater thing? Or a worse thing, rather. What's the worst thing? Condemnation forever. Show you that the problem wasn't the sickness, the problem first is salvation.
Did you see that?
That is the worst thing.
Hope you're hearing me. Amen. So look at all this. God help us see it through. Amen. So what do we call God as the solution? Is that heaven and earth? It will give God question the heavens and earth. That is God. Right? That is the solution, heaven and earth. That is light. The light is God and it's heaven and earth. Right? Is it the tabernacle? Is that the tabernacle? I guess this was where we stopped on Thursday. The tabernacle. Hallelujah. Where is the tabernacle?
So the tabernacle is to prefigure. Is it to prefigure God's man in all the earth?
Right?
Yeah, prefigure God's man in all the earth. So what is the tabernacle to prefigure?
Okay, let's start like this. The tabernacle is to prefigure God's solution, right? Heaven and earth together. Right? That will be Genesis 1. Right? Come on. Let's Genesis 1:1. And it will be what? All the earth, right? Heaven in all the earth. God in all the earth. Right? So how will God dwell in all the earth? Through his men. Right?
So heaven and so the tabernacle, will it prefigure God's men in all the earth? God's men in all the earth.
God's army. Right? Is it God's army? God's men?
Or everywhere in the earth?
Thank you. God bless you. We're going to see something shortly. So we said, that tabernacle, which is heaven and earth, we said, since it is,
listen, it is God's men in all the earth. Now, something I need you to see. Okay, let me not get to promise land. I said promise land on Thursday, but
I need to do an explanation on that, but not today. Amen. My boy, it will be promised land too. And it will be the same vision that who saw? Jacob saw.
In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob saw that vision. A ladder that reached heaven to show that what? There's an interaction, right?
Between the supernatural and the natural. And God's plan is that the whole earth should be what? His dwelling place. Right? The whole earth. But don't forget there's an interaction between the supernatural and the natural. I hope you're following me. So,
Jacob rose up and said, the Lord is in this place and I did not know. Genesis chapter 28. And I'm in verse 17.
Said the Lord is in this place and I did not know. So what did he do? He named, he called, he said, this is, look at Genesis 28. He called the place the gate of heaven. So the gate of heaven is on the earth. You hear that? Verse 17. Says he was afraid and said, how dirty is this place and all that, but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So he called the house of God the gate of heaven.
And what is the house of God? Well, this is the word house of God.
It is the word for family.
He calls it Bethel. God's family. Isn't that the house of God? He calls it God's family.
It's sacred.
Isn't that? So that's what he calls the gate of heaven. That means the gate of heaven, which is access, is within the earth. So like I said, the earth is an interplay
between the supernatural world and the natural world. Or you can put it this way, the earth overlaps, or the two worlds overlap. Amen. The earth, the supernatural and the natural, they overlap each other. They are found in the same place.
It's not, so heaven is not a planet outside the earth. No. Heaven, when the word heaven is used for a non-visible location. It is not visible to the physical eyes. Okay, Jeremy. Okay, Jeremy, you got the planet away.
We just saw it now. Look at verse 17. He said, this is no other than the gates of heaven.
So the gates of heaven is where? In the earth. So it is a supernatural place. It's different.
Yeah, it is not optical to the physical eye.
It's not a country. I remember someone say, heaven is a US and hell is in Africa. It's nonsense.
Amen. How can heaven be US?
And they are still having a political rigging, you know. What about this heaven, Canada? It's not only Canada. Nonsense. No, the way Africa is. Africa looks like hell. No. No. It's not a physical location, like I said.
So don't miss it. Don't say, ah, you are saying that heaven is in the earth. Come on. Listen to what I'm saying well.
Come on. I'm telling you that heaven is not a planet away. Heaven is a spiritual location that will be found within the earth. Not in a physical place, but will be found supernatural. Don't be following me.
It's a supernatural location. Is it a particular spot? No. If you are thinking a particular spot, you have to go to foundation school.
Amen. Amen. Let's proceed.
God help us. Amen. Okay, so let's see this. Heaven, right? So most Jacob called the place what? Huh? Bethel, right? Bethel. Jacob called it Bethel, which is God's family, right? Okay. So Bethel will be God's family. It will be God's dwelling in the earth in His men. Right? Okay. Okay, let's see something. So
man, remember what I told you on Thursday? I said when you hear the word a prefiguring or a word a pattern, you want to see some examples as we get into Sunday service or that second service.
When we get to second time, we'll see an example of that. But remember, God, when you hear, see a word like a pattern or a prefiguring, you should look at what was said around it, right? Whatever I taught you, look at what was said around it. Don't stay with what was prefigured. Amen. So, look at something. In Exodus 25,
I showed you this, verses 8 to 9. It says, in verse 9, he called what they were building as tabernacle, he called it a pattern. A pattern means, Exodus 25, that. Make it according to the pattern
that
I will show you on the mountain. Look at your Bible.
Exodus chapter 25.
Make it according to the pattern that I will show you on the mountain. So when you use the word pattern there, pattern is not used for, pattern is used for a prefigure. What is not the real thing? It's just like a sign. This is that. A sign points you to another thing. So that means that tabernacle that they were building was a sign. They were to build a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a mini temple, a mobile temple, and a temple is a mini earth. We're going to see that. Amen. So a tabernacle is a mini temple, right? So now a tabernacle.
Look at this apostle, it's coming late, it's asking what is happening. Are you seeing rapture? Are you not on WhatsApp? Did I walk in? Okay, let's go ahead.
Yeah, what were you?
Yeah, so it's a pattern.
Amen. So if you ever ask, it's a pattern. Right?
So it's not the real thing. It points you to.
Do you see that? It's supposed to point you to something. Okay, follow me. So we want to see that.
Now, so they were to build a tabernacle. Now, listen, if these same people,
for example, look at this. How many of you, you know, most times when you teach some certain subject, for example, I'm teaching and I'm not telling you, I'm explaining something to you, and I'm not saying this.
How should I explain now? Okay, you must get the goal. Get it done. There's a goal. For example, I'm teaching you and I'm telling you, you have to get the goal done. A goal then is I'm giving you a task
to go and make sure you sell iPhone 15 Pro Max to 10 people. I know there's no 15, that's what I'm doing.
So I'll tell you, because we need to make 10 billion. Learn to talk in billion. 10 billion. So, you now pick it up. And I'm not motivated. And I say, make sure you get to the goal. The goal is 15 billion. Right? Get to the goal. And I say, just an example. And I put asthma and Newcastle. And I say, asthma dribble and dribble and dribble and dribble. And they've got to the ball, but they couldn't score. But you can do two people and they were running straight and they scored goal. After I had possession, Newcastle didn't have possession, but they scored. Right? And I said, the same way, get to the goal. You now went out. Instead of you to go and sell iPhone 15 Pro Max and get me 15 billion, you now started doing like this on the road.
Yeah. What are we going to do to you? The pastor said we should get to the goal. So you now do everything ball and I'll put ball and I'll be scoring into the pole. Say yes, I'm gonna get to the goal.
I want us to tie you and take you to psychiatric room.
Right? I want you to use Astra and Newcastle as a pattern of how you must get to the goal. So don't play around like Astra, pass here. Take it, be focused. That's what I'm telling you, right? And go to the post. Hallelujah. It's just like yesterday, you saw how Chelsea was focused. Don't ever let me. Just be focused.
Amen. Those guys made me happy yesterday. Amen. So, just be focused. And score the goal. So imagine you now go out. Instead of you, I told you to make 15 billion. Now went to buy bladder ball. No, it's called bladder. Okay, you don't know bladder ball.
Black and white, and that is bladder.
Now we have to buy bladder. Now we have to carry a tire to make monkey post. And the pastor said we must score the goal. Are you on the right track or you have deranged? You have deranged, right? The right track is to give me 15 billion. Do you see that?
Now, when Moses was teaching them, it's the same audience. So the same thing like the way you are seated down now. Moses started with Genesis 1:1 and he said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, Moses was teaching now that the earth was without form and void. And this was say, man's heart. Listen, Moses is teaching. He says, man's heart is darkness. Man's problem is supernatural. But the answer is God's spiritual. The answer is God, which is the spirit of God in their heart. And I said, let me show you. And I told them, okay, Amos, you have faith, you need God. Fire, let's build a temple. Then I build something and say, okay, just like I told you, God's plan is in all the earth. Man's heart is evil. So God's plan is to be in the all the earth. Now, look at that temple. Where is it on the land? That land is to show all the earth. So the temple will be God wants to dwell in all the earth. Now instead of you to now understand what he is saying, you are now going into a temple. I want to come and see God. Do you see that? So, what are you supposed to focus on? The heart of man. Do you see that? Not on the temple. Okay, following. So that is what he is saying here in Exodus chapter 25. Read 25. Okay, following.
He said, according that to all that I've shown thee, after the pattern. Now when you use the word pattern there, it means sign. The sign of the sample. This that. And the pattern of what Israel were therefore, even so shall ye make. Did you see that? So it's a pattern, it's not the real thing. Then go to verse 8. It now says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them.
Watch it. So that means the tabernacle was to show that God would dwell among them. Is that the whole earth? Is that the whole earth? Thank you.
Hope you are seeing that. So the temple is not a physical building. The temple is God's plan in all the earth. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Okay. Go. So let's go a bit further. Look at, before you think, look at 1 Kings. So make you know that these guys, they knew what Moses was saying. And even Moses knew what he was saying. 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, Solomon built a temple.
Now, a temple is a what? Is a bigger tabernacle. A tabernacle is a mini temple, right? So, and a temple is heaven and earth too. Did you see that? Hope you follow me. I said the tabernacle was to point towards heaven and earth, God's solution, God's answer in all the earth, right? So now,
Solomon was done building the temple. He now also dedicates the temple. Now look at what he says when he was dedicating the temple. Now look at what he says. Look, I'll read verses 22 and 27. It says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. Look at what he says in verse 27. It now says, But will God, 1 Kings 8:27, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Did you see that? Behold, said the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I've built. Did you see that? So what is he saying? He's saying God cannot dwell in that house. God will not dwell in temple. In what? Temple filled with hands. Isaiah 66. The first said the Lord said that heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. He says, where is the house that they built unto me? Where is the place of my head? Say, for all these for all those things has my hand made, and those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look. Do you hear that? Even to him that is poor of a conscript spirit and trembleth at my word. So who will he look unto? Is it the temple or man? Is it the temple or man? So where will God dwell? Temple or man?
Man.
Did you see that?
Okay. So the temple was to prefigure God's plan in all the earth.
Amen.
So we're going to go to Solomon. Now the temple is not prefiguring a man. It's prefiguring the earth. Okay, what is the earth? And how will it be the whole earth? Amen.
Did you see that? Did you see that? The temple is not a man.
The temple, the church of God, is not a man. Okay, follow me. The temple is not a man. The temple will be what?
Eh?
The temple will be what? It will be men, not a man.
Glory to God. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So, quickly. So, since the heaven and earth is Bethel, a family, right? That means the tabernacle is a family fact. Put that. Is a family fact. And he says, I will dwell among them.
It is what Allah makes Lord
amongst them.
You see that? Exodus 25, verse 8. Let me make a sanctuary, and I may dwell
amongst them. Glory to God. So it's a family fact. God will be found amongst them. So, when it says amongst them, it means God amongst us is a family fact. I want to put it this way, but I will explain it shortly. Okay, no. Yeah, it's a family fact.
That is, it's a family. So, it's a better making sanctuary that I can do
amongst them. This is that amongst them.
The family fact. Is that? A family pact.
Now, in that family pact, remember, before that, in Exodus chapter 2,
he has called Israel my firstborn. Is that a family pact?
The family language. What's the family language? My firstborn? Language. Family language is a family pact.
Now, go to the next thing. What would you have?
Not just is a family pact. The family pact here points to the local church. So that means, how does God want to fill the earth? He wants to fill the earth with his family. Just that, with his family. Family. Local churches. What are you following me? His family. Local churches. We're going to see that. The gatherings. Put it that way. We want to fill the earth with gatherings. So in the wilderness, you have the church in the wilderness. You see that?
You have what? The church in the wilderness. So when they were delivered, were they delivered from Egypt as a person or as a people? As a people, as a family, right? Okay, follow me.
They were delivered from Egypt as a family, as a people. Never forget that. As a family, as a people. They are not delivered alone. So the gathering is God's family. The gathering is God's family. So where are we gathered onto?
We are gathered onto the Lord. So there is a universal church in Christ. Right? So we are gathered in Christ.
And in Christ we now have the local churches. You see that? In Christ and then the local churches. What are you following me? We are gathered where? In Christ and then in the local churches. Jesus makes us see that. In Matthew 16, he says in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Where is that church in himself? It's just two chapters after, in Matthew 18, he talks about the physical church. The physical gathering. So that means that the physical gathering will proceed, or there will be a physical gathering because there is a gathering in him. Do you see that? Hallelujah. What are you following me? Oh, there is a gathering in him. And in that gathering, the physical gathering, which is the local church, the Spirit is amongst us. And that is a family pact. So, if you say the Spirit is amongst us, let's get back to what we have that in the wilderness, right?
When the Bible in the wilderness, the children of Israel out of Egypt. That is salvation. So they came out of Egypt. They were together. So what did they see? They saw God.
So when we're going to get to see something. When you hear the Spirit amongst us, you have to go back to it, to the wilderness. That's where you find it. Hallelujah. That's where you find it. So together, the Israelites, what did they see in the wilderness?
They saw God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, my time is... Well, we should be running off, man. So they saw God amongst them. Okay, follow me. They saw God amongst them. They saw the manifestation of God amongst them. In their midst, they had a pillar of cloud and fire. They had a pillar on their way out. They had the pillar of cloud and fire to show you how God led them out. Isn't that, that is easy, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? So that means they had the leading of the Spirit with them. In Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 verse 9 into 10. Exodus chapter 3 quickly. Exodus chapter 3. As it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the clouded pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the clouded pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw manifestation of God.
Hallelujah.
They saw, I want you to worship. Amen. They worship. They saw it. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. They saw it. That God was with them. That God was amongst them. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. And they worship. Something we're going to see as we proceed in this teaching is the fact that the Spirit amongst the Spirit amongst us creating us that consciousness of the miraculous. That consciousness of how God leads us as a family. How God leads us as a family. No individual. As a family.
I said this, that was Pastor Dorian's leading of the Spirit, right?
I said something along these lines. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
How God leads us as a local church. Amen. So be careful of that leading that is not. That's how God leads us. So be careful of that leading that goes against the leading in your local church. It's not of God. Hallelujah. It's not of God. It can't be of God. Be careful of it.
Amen. Because how God will lead you to be in the local church. I've seen a young guy recently.
And the guy was telling me how he had a call to ministry, how this, that. And I don't say, do you know what? He was telling me, I said, do you have a local church? I said, yes. I said, have you told your pastor this? He said, no. I said, go and tell your pastor. But looking at me, he thought I would hug his rebellion. I said, no. Go to your local church and tell your pastor. And make sure you don't leave that church until your pastor asks you to. He was looking at me, I said, that is just it. As justice. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So, it gives you that consciousness, like I said, of the miraculous, of God made us as a family. Something else, it gives you that consciousness of caution.
Well, come again.
Caution.
God is there. So you can't live life of peace. Can you not say, oh my God. Okay. I want to say something like Paul said, because blessing is not possible.
Hallelujah. You see that most of the instructions you have in the epistles are instructions on, or are instructions that point your attention to God in our midst. Amen? To God in our midst. Not in us, but in our midst. Okay, follow me.
I know you are already used to the Spirit within and the Spirit of us. Now there's the Spirit amongst. That's what I'm teaching you.
Amen.
The Spirit amongst us.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit amongst us.
Glory to God. So it gives you caution. That's caution, that of caution and reverence.
I'll put honor and light under reverence. Hallelujah. And reverence.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh. See, the children of Israel saw it. They saw God. This is not they saw. No, no, no. They saw. They had that experience firsthand that God was with them. Amen. They saw it. They had it. Look at how sweet it was when Aaron and Miriam speak. Caution. You don't do anything. You don't talk anything. You don't behave anything. Yeah? You're slow about it. Immediately there was judgment. Bah! God is here. Just look. God is in this place. Amen. I hope you follow me. God is here. So many a time, we've had emphasis on the spirit of God within us and upon us. Right? And many people really do not have not taken time to talk about or to know that we have the Spirit of God amongst us. Some people even skip it. No, you don't skip it. Hallelujah. Oh, skip it. Hallelujah. See, you must know that we have the Spirit of God amongst us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to emphasize the Spirit in us, the Spirit upon us, without emphasizing the Spirit of God amongst us, it's not. You must emphasize it to them. God is in our midst. We must be strong about it too. As we are strong about God, is enough.
It's with us. Hallelujah. Okay, hear
me. It's with us. Scriptures were not quiet about with us. In fact, scriptures is even louder with us.
I'm telling you.
Louder with us. God is with us. Amen. Say, God is with us. God is with us. Hallelujah. God is amongst us. He says confidently, God is with us. Hallelujah. Not good. See, what it does, that lack of that emphasis of God amongst us, what it does is that for those who are extreme, so not some people take things extreme. So that lack of that emphasis of God not being of, that lack of the emphasis of God amongst us, that lack of the emphasis, so people take it to the extreme. Amen. Let me tell you how. And we'll round up. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you how. I've heard someone say, the Spirit of God in you will treat you as though you are the only one in the whole world. You know what people do with that word? But I tell you what people have done to that word.
Some people began to frame their own ego. That is extreme. That I can frame an ego. You don't know what that is. I can frame an ego.
People begin to walk. You don't know what it means to frame a young. There was one brother like that in a particular church that we call brother framing a young. The pastor was done preaching, you can frame your wall. You can frame your ear. So the brother now took it up. If they are praying, you have to, if it's even I've heard him lead prayer, he said, you know, as you pray, we're going to frame an ear. So the man gave me the name brother framing a ear. He can frame a ear.
I can frame an ear. Look, you begin that lack of empathy makes people begin to walk outside the local church. People begin to receive strange leading that is contrary to God's leading in the local church. See, let me tell you, as we get into this thing, you discover that how God leads us as a family is in the local church. Amen. That's how he leads us in the local church.
You don't listen, you don't
get led by God's Spirit outside the leading of the Lord.
So you are saying it as though you know it. If there's nothing I know. I know God leads us to the local church. That I know. And there's nothing I know. I know that what God is doing in the earth is doing it to the local church. So his leading is to the local church. God never led people alone. He led them through a garden. even when Paul was led, had the leading of God's Spirit to go that to in Acts of Paul chapter 9, to reach to people. Paul didn't go nowhere. Hope you know that. Paul went nowhere until Acts 13 in the garden. He received that confirmation to go. That was when he left. Hope you're hearing me. Like an eagle, you will max. You not just max, you will increase. Your feathers will flap and flap, and the nations will see your feathers.
Oh yeah.
You know you are bigger than the place. You are bigger than I hear Penak. You're bigger than Penak. Oh, there's a location in the spirit that will make you. Not amazing. Thank you, sir. What other thing else? Did you see bed? Tell me. Did you know? Amen.
You are not flapping anywhere.
Okay, anyway. We used to have a sister like that in church here, that all the time I knew that there was a red flag already. She kept coming to tell me how people used to tell her that she would be a pastor. She would be a pastor. She would come and tell me that she was walking and somebody saw her and said she would be a pastor. One day, what would I say? I know you'll be a pastor, but calm down. It didn't take her up to a few months. She left ministry. Is she doing ministry today? It's not the ministry. It's me. She's not doing ministry anymore.
Be careful of such things. God will not lead you outside the kingdom. Now God will tell you, people are telling you a pastor, you say, I can make you a pastor. No. Don't put your honor on due pressure.
Okay, here it is. Don't put your honor on due pressure. Okay, here it is. Amen. So also, to don't put your pastors under on due pressure. Amen. And we have an example in the Corinth church. The Corinth church was that kind of church. They were that kind of church. Hallelujah. They have the spirit of God, yes. In them, yes. They understood spirituals, yes. But didn't apply it. So why did they apply it? Because the application of the things of the spirit is going to be in the local church, in the family. That is the spirit amongst them. Hallelujah. So the case of the church at Corinth is just almost the same. They didn't place emphasis on the spirit amongst them. And that is why you find Paul in verses 29 of 1 Corinthians 11. He said they did not discern the Lord's body. They didn't discern the Lord's body.
Amen. And they are eating and drinking and they didn't discern the Lord's body. Amen. That is the Lord's body with me.
That was to discern, they to distinguish, to say this is it. They couldn't. They didn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strife sets in. That is what lack of emphasis on the spirit amongst us because. Strife sets in. Spirit amongst us. Amen. Amen. But Jesus makes us see in Matthew 18 verse 20.
It says when two or three are gathered, physical life. When two or three,
I close it, are gathered together in my name, say, there am I in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the spirit of God in our garden. When two or three are gathered, say, I am there. That is the spirit of God in our garden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God in our garden mustn't be lost on us.
The spirit of God in our garden mustn't be lost on us. No, we mustn't be lost on us.
Hallelujah. He's in us. He's with us. Put it like this. He's in us.
He's upon us. He's upon us. Hallelujah.
The Spirit of God is amongst us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What it does that it creates that reverence amongst us. Amongst ourselves. Increase it. When Jesus was to speak to the disciples,
that was to be emphasis in the coming prophecy. In John 14 verse 16, he says, I pray the Father will give to you another comforter, that he may abide with you. Watch that word. That he may abide with you.
He wasn't talking to them individually, he was talking to them together.
He said, the Spirit of God will abide with you. It is causing
that same spirit which the world cannot receive because they are seasonal, but you know it. When you dwell with you, I was talking to them together. You will dwell with you, that is, you will be found in your midst. Hallelujah. You will be found
you will be found in your midst. You will be found amongst you. So, hallelujah.
Amen. Remember, I told us during believers'
conference, I mean during church, that the Spirit of God is what binds us together.
Bind all of us together is the Spirit of God. So it's in us. He says, "He shall be with you and dwell in you." Do you see that? So he is with us and in us. You can't lose. Those two emphases are very vital in the Christian faith. To be with us and in us. Jesus made that emphasis for us. With us and in us. With us and in us. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. Hallelujah. That's why in Matthew 28, it says, "Lo, I'm with you." God walking with them. Mark. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. God walking with them. With them is not one person, is with them. Do you see that? God calls us as a family. God walks with us as a family. God walks with us together. I'll be with you, walking with them. Hallelujah. That means, if you look at all these things, when you use the word Spirit among us, Spirit among us, walking with and with them, it speaks of practice. Walking with and with you. If you watch what he said in surrounding, teaching them, all I've commanded them, lo, I am with you. Activities, practice of the Spirit. So that means the practice of the Spirit is amongst us. The practice of the things of the Spirit will be found amongst us. Amen. The practice of the things of the Spirit will be found amongst us. Glory to God. We'll look at this and many more as we progress. Amen. Have you learned something? Have you learned something? Are you sure you've learned something? Okay, let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord. Before we thank the Lord, before we do that, something we're going to do is that I want us to see the Lord. You will see the fact that to progress, you will see the fact that Paul's instructions to them in the book of Corinth, you will see that emphasis of with them. You might not hear it aloud with you, but you'll find it in what he's saying. Why? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he told them, you are the temple of the Lord. Not one person, together. You are the temple of the Lord. So that is the emphasis for every other thing he's going to see. Because you are the temple of the Lord, he says you are washed. Together, you are washed. You see that? You are sanctified. He now goes ahead. When a brother ate and slept with his father's wife, before Paul dealt with the brother, who did he deal with first? The guy. Isn't that? The guy. Why? Because the Spirit of God is among us. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. I will treat that for my life. Paul will say, you know how you ought to behave yourself. Right? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, it says the pillar and the garden. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank him for this wonderful family. Let's thank him. Let's thank him.